Well, can't you see, you that are listening on radio, that we are now live? Pretty good turnout of voices of faith. A little offsided. Is there something wrong with that side of the room? We're packed in over here. And there's big holes over there. So, wherever you are, you call the phones over there to get them moving around a little bit. We have 3,900 in front of me. I see the number. We have just reached the milestone of 3,900 World Band members. And I'll bet you there's more than 100 who are listening by shortwave, but have just not called in and become identified with a World Band number. These are the ones that we know, if everything else goes down, we can reach you by shortwave. Even if we lose the satellite, I can put a phone patch in to the Dallas transmitter and to the Nashville transmitter. And we're already hooked up to Simi Valley and just keep right on broadcasting. So it is important that I know how many of you have your shortwave and are participating as a World Band member. So why don't those 100 that haven't yet signed up take us over 4,000? In a hurry. And I'm looking at the reservations for Sunday. I'm about 180 short of that comfort zone that makes me know there'll be sufficient there to make an adequate testimony now. 180 more of you better get on the telephone and say, I'm going to start my new year right. Bloodshot eyes and all, I'll be there Sunday morning. You get there, and it's my job to keep you awake. But it's your job to get there. Now get on the telephone. How many? How many have gotten your pulpit in the mail? Well, that's good. To remind you that first fruits time is coming up. But you also notice there's a message that's not yet been published that's also a part of the pulpit. How many were at the testimonial to the value of a teacher the year we had it 10,000 a couple at Chasen's restaurant? Oh. Well, then the rest of you need an experience like that. It made the national news that Chasen's is closing. The last of the great restaurants. Coconut Grove, then Perino's, and now Chasen's. I've been thinking we ought to have one last. They've been friends of mine ever since I've been here. I was the only live thing the waiters could watch after they went home at night, so I never had any trouble getting table number two. I think we ought to have one more bash at Chasen before April 1st comes, when they close it forever. That landmark is going to become a shopping center. Progress. What do you think about it? I still am determined that one of these years we will achieve, again, because of a value judgment about God's Word being taught, what we did that year when we pursued Hope Street. And maybe we need to do some of the things we did way back with Secret One, some banquets that bring us together. So I'm thinking about having another testimonial to the value of a teacher at Chasen just before it closes. How many of you? Well, you're the only one here. You still got your souvenir menu? That ought to be a premium now that they... That ought to go better than my prints. Now that they've closed, or are going to close the restaurant. No more calls. The third, fourth, and fifth dynasties are called the great pyramid-building dynasties of Egypt. Hidden inside some of the fifth and sixth dynasty pyramids are the oldest religious writings yet discovered in the world. Amazing how ignorant the world is of most of these subjects. These, for obvious reasons, are known as the pyramid texts. Right off, don't confuse the pyramid texts with the Book of the Dead. Now, the Book of the Dead is primarily found on papyri, parts of which buried with mummies and form the latter part of a whole series of texts associated with what Egyptologists call the funerary rites in Egypt. But the pyramid texts are written on stone. These, for obvious reasons, are known as the pyramid texts. There aren't any in the Great Pyramid of Giza. But hidden inside some of the fifth and sixth dynasty pyramids are these, quote, pyramid texts. Given their extraordinary antiquity, it seems strange that they're not better known to the public. Most people have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are from a much later epoch, 100 B.C. It's curious that the pyramid texts have been so neglected by most people, a mystery in itself. Some more reading from the Orion Ministry by Robert Boval and Adrian Gilbert. When I first came across them in 1979, I was astounded and wondered why hadn't I heard of them before. Talking with friends in Cairo, I discovered that many Egyptians also were ignorant of their existence. Isn't it interesting? I'm teaching about the pyramids and saturating Egypt with our coverage. I soon perceived that everything about these ancient texts is mysterious and most of all largely unknown to the world. Even their discovery, which happened in a most curious way. During the winter of 1879, that's how long ago, a rumor was circulating in Cairo that ancient inscriptions might exist inside the small and unexplored pyramids at Saqqara, Who's on that camera over there? You know, I see who you are. I need somebody who knows how to take close-ups. And who's behind me here and who's there? You know how to do it? You know how to take close-ups? Come and try. Come on, give it a try. Come over here. Come right over my right shoulder. Get close to me. I don't. I'm not dangerous. Not at least not sitting here. Looking north from the Nile Delta. Catch the picture. Come on, director. You go up the Nile from the Memphis area, which is at the peak of the Delta, around where the Giza Plateau is. The pyramids are strung all the way up to the Valley of the Kings, way into the northern part. And Saqqara in relationship to Giza, here's Giza where my finger is. That's Giza. You're okay. I just wanted to get a little perspective. Upriver considerably to Saqqara. That's where we are. We're away from the Giza Plateau. Thank you. I'll call you back in a moment because you've got to take a picture of these texts. During the winter of 1879, a rumor was circulating in Cairo that ancient inscriptions might exist inside the small and unexplored pyramids at Saqqara. It's the night before New Year's Eve. You interested in this?
Yes, sir.
I suppose you wouldn't be watching if you weren't. The rumor gathered momentum and aroused the usual mixture of skepticism and excitement until it reached the ears of Professor Gaston Maspero. He had recently arrived in Cairo to take charge of the mission of archaeology, French, and was eager to further his career in Egypt. An experienced archaeologist and a brilliant philologist, a student of languages, Maspero knew only too well that the biggest archaeological finds often went with just such a rumor, a whisper in the markets. And this one had a feel of truth. It seemed to confirm what he had secretly suspected about the otherwise silent pyramids of Egypt. He decided to investigate. Apparently a jackal or desert fox had been spotted at dawn, immobile, near a crumbled pyramid in the necropolis of Saqqara. It was as if the animal were taunting his lone human observer, a reis or head workman, and was almost inviting the puzzled man to chase him. Slowly, slowly, the jackal slowly, the jackal sauntered. Slowly, the jackal sauntered towards the north face of the pyramid, stopping for a moment before disappearing into a hole. The bemused Arab decided to follow his lead. After slipping through the narrow hole, he found himself crawling into the dark bowels of the pyramid. Soon he emerged into a chamber, and lifting his light, saw that the walls were covered from top to bottom with hieroglyphic inscriptions. These were carved with exquisite craftsmanship into the solid limestone and painted over with turquoise and gold. The Reese had stumbled across one of the greatest archaeological discoveries of the late 19th century and the coded messages contained therein. There is a certain irony that the discovery was made by following a jackal. In ancient Egypt, there were two jackal gods, though they were probably different aspects of the same divine archetype. The first and best known was Anubis, who in Egyptian funerary paintings is always shown supervising the ritual weighing of the heart, the dreaded final reckoning of the dead that decided whether or not a soul could enter into the court of Osiris. Wooden sculptures of Anubis were also made and placed as guardians inside the tombs of pharaohs. A beautiful example of one of these, now in the Cairo Museum, being the ever-watchful guardian found in the tomb of the boy king, Tutankhamun, or King Tut. The other jackal was Wawit, or Upwout, the opener of the ways, and it was after him, of course, that the German team named the robot that we talked about the other night that explored the so-called air shafts. The distinction between Anubis and Upwout is not clear from the ancient texts. But as Robert Temple pointed out in the Sirius Mystery, and we've read about the Dogon people and taught about them from that book, Anubis was seen as linked with Sirius, the brightest star of the constellation, Canis Major, or the Great Dog. Upwout seems to have been connected with the northern constellation, which we now call Ursa Minor. So much for the jackal. The discovery of the pyramid text is shrouded in controversy. The late 1870s were admittedly a confusing time in Egypt. And I read this to show you how the egos of scientists will hold back and fight anything that changes their position. As I've quoted one who said, men will fight harder for something they've said than they would for the same thing if they hadn't said it. The credit for the discovery of the pyramid text is generally given to Gaston Maspero, but the true sequence of events that led to the discovery are far from clear. It is well documented that he was the first to enter the pyramid of Unas on 28 February, 1881. But there can be no doubt that two other text-bearing pyramids had already been secretly explored by Auguste Mariette, director of the Egyptian Antiquities Service. The story goes that the Arab Reese, probably disappointed at not finding any, quote, real treasure inside the small pyramid, reported his find to the authorities responsible for antiquities, which meant it was pretty hard to take those and sell them as they did the papyri and scroll type texts. Reported his find to the authorities responsible for antiquities, which meant Auguste Mariette, the most senior Egyptologist of his day, who had donned the title of Pasha. Mariette was a native of Europe and had been in Egypt since 1851. He had become famous a few months after his arrival in Egypt when he discovered the Serapion at Saqqara, a huge labyrinth of underground galleries containing dozens of the massive sarcophagi of the sacred Apis bulls of Memphis. This made him a good friend of Khedive Said and later of his son Ismail, who gave him considerable influence in Egypt. Mariette founded the Services of Antiquities, the prototype for the Egyptian Antiquities Organization, and the Boulogne Museum, which eventually became the Cairo Museum and moved to its present location in Tahrir Square. Mariette became the first director of the services, then a position of power in Egypt, since it controlled the trade of antiquities and the concessions to foreign bodies who wished to excavate. Kind of a poor choice of word, foreign bodies wishing to excavate. By 1880, when the pyramid texts were discovered, Mariette had become a household name, and his reputation as an archaeologist was immense. He had also a reputation for stubbornness and authoritarianism, which on more than one occasion caused political trouble with his mentors. His star was setting. He was tired and sick and had lost his wife and a child in an outbreak of the plague in Egypt. Mariette brooded over what he regarded as his private empire, the Memphite necropolis where, among other treasures, he had discovered the Serapion. In spite of entreaties by Maspero and others regarding the pyramid and writings in it, Mariette maintained a rigid and patronizing stance, claiming it'd be a waste of time and money to enter these unexplored pyramids. His argument was that as pyramids were tombs, they could not speak. They were obviously mute, and he insisted they could not possibly contain inscriptions. His colleagues, including Maspero, decided it was better to let matters stand. He not only thought it was a waste of time, but money. But early in 1880, the money problem, at least, was solved. The French government made a generous donation to the Antiquities Service of 10,000 francs on the understanding that at least one of the unopened pyramids at Saqqara should be explored. It worked. At last, on January 4th, 1881, that's how many years after the first discovery, 3 years. This, after all, could be his last chance to be privy to the secrets of the pyramids. Reluctantly, he gave instructions to his German assistant, Emil Bruch, to investigate this irksome, quote, jackal rumor. A few days later, Bruch reported to Mariette that the Reese's story had been correct. It was in a pyramid and not a mastaba that the inscriptions had been found. But by now, the great archaeologist was on his deathbed and ironically never saw the texts. On January 19, 1881, Mariette died at Boulogne near the famous museum he had created, and his embalmed body now rests inside a sarcophagus in the courtyard of the Cairo Museum of Egyptian Antiquities. A bronze statue of Mariette dominates the scene with the plaque, a Mariette Pasha. The Egyptian reconnaissance leader. He's opening up, in other words, of Egypt's mysteries. Maspero was Mariette's obvious successor, was immediately appointed director of the Service of Antiquities, and it was clear to everyone what his first move would be. With the official authority his new position brought, the full exploration of the neglected small pyramids in the Memphite necropolis was on a secure footing. Thus it was that in the second week of February, 1881, upon a glorious winter sun, or under a glorious winter sun, Maspero embarked upon the operation with quasi-military zeal. Unas was opened on February 28th. Pepi II and Neferik Kara on 13th of April, and Teti, different rulers, identified pyramids on the 29th of May. Excavations went on until late 1882 on other pyramids, with no further inscriptions found, but Maspero was proud to report that in less than a year, five of the so-called dumb pyramids of Saqqara had spoken. This was more than he'd ever dreamt would be found. Literally, thousands of lines of hieroglyphs had now been discovered, and one can feel Maspero's excitement as he explains the quantity of writings involved. The result, he wrote, is considerable. The inscribed pyramids at Saqqara have given us almost 4,000 lines of hymns and formulae, of which the greater part were written originally during the prehistoric period of Egyptian history. His conclusion as to the date of their original composition, even by conservative estimates, which he later explains, brings us to a period around 3200 B.C., which is almost two millennia before the compilation of the Old Testament and over 3,400 years before the first Christian Gospels were written. The pyramid texts are certainly the oldest religious corpus of writings discovered anywhere in the world. Well now, Cheops, or Khufu, or Cheops, ruled 2600 to 2400 B.C., and these pyramid texts are dated to 3200 B.C. Draw your own conclusions. Here's some pictures. Here's a sample. Come around. This is going to take some careful work. So come quickly, and we're coming to a station break. This is a burial chamber of Unas pyramid. You can see roof, ceilings, walls. Focus in as quickly as possible, because I'm running out of time. Come on, director. Pull it in. Let him focus with the monitor. I got a dangler, but I can't focus it. Where the silver thing is, right above it. Now, right there's the room. Try to get in on it. Go up higher. See all the walls? See the ceiling? Carved hieroglyphic writings in the stone, every wall, and all over the ceiling. Conservative estimates, 3200 B.C. If you'd like me to continue sometime, by the way, as part of it, here are these three stars in the belt of Orion down here. Drop down. There's a close-up of some of the writings. Isn't that interesting? Get on telephone.